Today is 7 months and 7 days.
What are y'all doing in New Zealand?
Moving there.
Nice.
Yeah, man.
Greetings in Christ Jesus. My name is Michael Criswell from RelentlessHeart.com, and you are listening to another episode of The Grace to Love Again. For the past 12 years, the Lord has had me journal and share His unique dealings with me in real time as I walked with Him by faith. These recordings captured the experiences, the trials of faith, and the many spiritual insights I had while en route to His most recent command and promise to me of moving to New Zealand and marrying my wife, Lisa Criswell. To learn more about this story, please watch the documentary called The Heavenly Scandal. See link in description. And also visit relentlessheart.com/series, where all the episodes are available to stream or download in the MP3 audio format. May God bless you as you listen. You know, we despaired even of life, feeling the sentence of death in our hearts. And this happened that we might not rely on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. Here it is, total blackness, no sense of hope, bags are stuck, passport comes back expired, stamped, you can never reuse it, nothing's no good, nothing's moving forward, no open doors for me to start to go to New Zealand. Everything just looks like it's on hold. Everything feels miserable. And it looks totally hopeless. You've been a fool. You've wasted your time. You've wasted your money. You're not going to be able to step into this. You're only delaying your suffering. You're only delaying your, you know, prolonging your suffering, delaying the comfort if you just quit and see the writing on the wall. All of this is being said to us in our hearts, suffering the dreams and the nightmares, suffering just everything. It's just suffering, suffering, suffering. You feel like Brother Yun saying, you weak God. You can't even get us into the promised land that you gave us. You can't even help us, and we're sitting here rotting in prison. That's my flesh. Jesus said, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. This is the miracle that shows that God is able to cause you to stand firm. What is it in me that is stronger to persevere than that is in me strong to quit? What is that but the grace and power and will of Jesus Christ? It is 6:32 in the morning on May 17th, 2022. I have not prayed yet. I'm just stepping on the trail, and I'm going to walk slowly up the hill and just want to capture the suffering that is continuing and try to capture a good picture of what it feels like and how I'm dealing with it. So yesterday, I've already made those recordings about what happened yesterday, about the just really tremendous torments I came under, again, about Lisa's dream. And then I rebounded from prayer. And then in the evening time, I came under attack again. And I believe Satan was filling my heart with lies, saying that Lisa was upset with me about... That was a total lie. And I felt myself at 8 o'clock last night running around trying to find a replacement blender for my coffees. And I was sinking, and I said, man, I felt like I was just going to say to her, honey, I can't talk again tonight. And I said, nope, I'm not going to do this. I'm going to step into this. So I picked up the phone and called her. And we talked, and she said, oh, honey, no, that's not true at all. I'm not bothered at all. And so I was so thankful that we talked. It was just a really, really, really rough day yesterday. When I walked back in the house last night, even after talking to her, there was my returned expired passport. About 322 days after I originally sent it off, it comes back. And I just thought, well, it was just gone. They're just keeping it. And as weird as it is, the timing of it, that it came back on May 11th, the day before that big marker day we had, it really felt like a slap in the face. So you have all this torment going on with my heart, and then this just, again, really felt like a slap in the face. I was really hurt by that, and just felt subdued. And then on top of that, we're dealing with the emails from customs, and they are now wanting me to redo the form for my five bags, putting myself as the importer. Then of course they're wanting a copy of my passport. And I have no doubt that that potentially is going to be a problem because my passport is expired. And so now it's starting to look like we might be defeated here. And our attempts to get the bags in under Lisa seem to be failing. And here it is. Today is 47 days. I know I sent those bags off in accord with God's will. He has a promise to us that we will take stock of our property and find nothing missing. We will know that our tent is secure, just like with the tiny house. I woke up this morning already feeling negative about it. I feel absolutely exhausted underneath. I feel there's a vein of suffering running strong underneath of the surface. And since I recognize, okay, Lord, this is all of you, there are no secondary causes, then immediately what happens is the temptations to say that God is being cruel. I've been thinking a lot about Brother Yun lately. It really looks like God is being cruel. Okay, so some suffering, yeah, we understand that. But for my whole life, I've only had, I feel, about 7 years of peace in my whole life. It's funny, I was driving down the road here this morning and I see this couple jogging in the sun, early morning sun coming up, and they've got their matching pink jogging outfits on, if you will, colors, orangish, pink, and she's got her little ponytail, and they've got all their little running gear on, and her little ponytail's just pouncing back and forth down the road, and they're just running side by side. Just looks so carefree. And I just think about how I see people out walking their dogs and stuff like that, and I think about the unbelievable suffering that we are going through, and it really looks like God is being cruel. And you know, when you add it all up, you end up, as a servant of the Lord, you end up having to look like a total idiot. And if God has a special calling on your life, you are going to have massive amounts of suffering. It looks so noble to be a servant of the Lord and seems so glorious to be a prophet. Man, it is not. It means exactly like what Derek Prince said. It means isolation, persecution, and suffering. And the temptation is to get mad at God. And I can hear Brother Yun crying out, God, you're weak and you don't even have the power to save me. You know, or now I'm just going to rot in this prison. And it looks like God really is pleased to allow it to look like that for so many times. I have to say, I feel a bit staggerish. I'm staggering a bit. I mean, yesterday was a horrible day for me. Just the torment. There's almost nothing worse I can face than the torments of some of these dreams. And like my wife is like saying, honey, just remember, this is not of me. I have no desires for any of this nonsense. I never had dreams like this, you know, until you and I got together. So you see, it's like there's no escape. If you're going to follow Jesus Christ, truly, you are going to suffer. If you're going to serve him, you're going to suffer way more. If you're going to be called into full-time servant, you're going to suffer way more. And it's never ending. And it's like my life literally looks so much like Brother Yun's. It's just, it's incredible. It's really incredible how you go, just like Lisa said, she's like, it's like we go from prison to prison. You know, it's like he went into 30 prisons, you know, in his life, in and out of 30 prisons. And that's what it looks like. It looks like we're going into prison after prison. And there's no escape. And, you know, you can handle it for a while. And it just starts to wear on you. And I can feel it, man. And this last week, this has been the hardest week. Like Lisa even brought up again last night. She's like, wow, honey. She's like, I've often wondered, you know, if you would ever feel like I did. She's like, you just seem to be so strong and go through this all. And she said, I wondered when 9/11 came and went, how is it that you didn't feel what I felt? How is it that you just said, okay, well, we're just going to keep going and trusting God? And I said, well, baby, now you know I'm still fully human. And so I've had two really, really bad days, the 12th and yesterday. And what I now am left feeling is you feel this impending sense of hopelessness is trying to close in on you. It's really weird. And God is doing this intentionally. And that's why you wonder, you're like, well, okay, God, what's the point of this just kind of pushing our face in the mud? And you look at this, and this is exactly what he does to Brother Yun. Just when you think the guy's had enough, God pushes his face into the mud. And God does it, not Satan. God is allowing it. Satan can't do anything to you that God doesn't allow. It all comes from God. Satan can't stop my bags and prevent them and hold them up apart from God allowing it. Satan can't be giving my wife dreams apart from God allowing it. Satan can't make me feel this and torment apart from God allowing it. So that's where it becomes really difficult as you, for a while, you find comfort in, hey, this is from God. God is sovereign in control of everything. There are no secondary causes. This is all sanctified afflictions. And you take comfort in that. But then when it becomes excessive, it starts to look cruel. And in my spirit, I know that it's not. I know that God is not being cruel. And we're seeing so many numbers encouraging. You know, God is going to go before us and deliver us. You're not going to be put to shame. Set your face like flint because the sovereign Lord helps me. I know I will not be put to disgrace and I will deliver you. And we're seeing all this. So God is trying to speak and encourage just like he would do Brother Yun. He would remind Brother Yun of certain passages of scripture to encourage him. And we're getting the same thing. But the problem is that God is allowing us to experience just a very, very high level of suffering. Lisa said today, she says, oh, have you noticed that you haven't used that sweet voice with me since, you know, God told us to tighten up our talk to each other, you know, when we start to try to talk sweet talk with each other, like physical sweet talk or what have you. And God said, you know, put that down. And so we have, and we've made that sacrifice, and the birds of prey are descending on that sacrifice to try to stop us, and God is allowing us to suffer. I realize from my knowledge of the Christian faith and experience and how Satan works and how God has worked, this is all textbook. This is all exactly what all of the greatest writers and Christians have ever talked about happens when you're a servant of the Lord and a true Christian. This is what it's about. and we have to suffer in this life. And sometimes, though, it feels like you're trapped. And sometimes, like right now, if I were to think, okay, so I'm 48. Let's say I lived another 40 years to 88. That's a long time. And you start thinking about all this suffering and you're just like, Lord, just take me home. You know, just get me out of here. You know, and you want so bad to be free of this. And even though I have this great hope and this great love with Lisa, the suffering, and of course, God is balancing it all out. He's keeping me from putting so much hope and happiness in Lisa and my marriage to her, because I am so strong in that way. It's tainted. It's got a sense of earthy to it. It's got suffering in it. It's a mixture. This life is a mixture, and there's no escape. It doesn't matter how much you obey. It doesn't matter how much faith you have. It doesn't matter how humble you are. You are going to suffer. God knows how to push you past what you're capable of doing, even if you're the kindest, softest person, most humble, patient person. God, if you're a servant of His, knows how to push you into a place where you will suffer. I'm very strong in my faith. I know how to suffer. I've done it more than anything in my whole life. I'm an expert at suffering. I'm a pro. I'm one of the world's top experts on suffering, personally. And it never ends. And suffering specifically for being a Christian and a Christian minister. And, you know, with a prophetic call in my life that just adds an element of suffering to it. And so you just feel horrified sometimes, and it just feels like you cannot escape it. And it starts to close in on you like solitary confinement in your suffering. And you know that there's no escape it. This is coming from God, and it just feels like He's being cruel. And there's a temptation to get mad at Him, like happened to me on the 12th. I mean, I haven't been mad at God, I don't think, in years. I think I have two times in this entire relationship with Lisa, I have expressed my frustration with God about all the suffering I face. Two times I've gotten into self-pity that I can remember. And they were both very significant. One was the 12th and the other one was months ago. And the rest of the time I'm just like, baby, this is from the Lord. We have to trust Him. And I'm back doing that again today. And I've come out here. I haven't prayed yet. I'm just really wanting to capture how I feel before I pray. And good morning. No, she's just standing right there. Good morning. Hi. Hi there. So anyhow, yeah, I'm really just amazed at how this feels. I can feel a darkness, and like Lisa, she said that it just feels like there's no hope. You get to this place where you feel like there's no hope. And I still have, no matter how much suffering I go through. This is what Lisa said when she listened to my recordings yesterday. She says, oh, baby. She's like, all this suffering and torment you're talking about in your recording. And she says, yet then I still hear you say, but I know I'm going to New Zealand, and I know I'm going to be with my wife. And she said, oh, I'm just so thankful to hear that. And so that's the thing that is probably the most important part for me to capture, is no matter how hopeless it feels, no matter how dark it gets, there's always this part of me that knows I'm going to get through this. Doesn't mean I don't feel frustrated, but I know that God is going to come through for us. And that's the part of me that has been able to go through this much suffering. The part of me that always trusts that God has gotten me through. Like, I can say it now 100%. God has never failed me, and He's not going to start now. He's allowing me to suffer like absolute hell. And He's allowing Lisa to suffer hell. It's horrible what we're going through. And it's this long, drawn out thing. God is allowing this. He is the one that humbles. He is the one that exalts. He is the one who brings death. He is the one who brings life. He is the one who brings blessing. He is the one who brings calamity. He is in control of everything. So I have to always remind myself, you know, all these years, these things are coming from God. And if it's coming from God, it has a good purpose, and it will eventually, if we suffer patiently enough, turn for good. That's what the whole Christian life is about. And I told Lisa, I said, baby, we're suffering for other people. And sometimes I feel in my flesh wanting to resent that. I have felt a few times, like particularly I think on the 12th, where I want to say, God, that's it. I'm sick and tired of suffering for other people. Let other people suffer for themselves. God, I've said everything I know to say. I've helped everybody. I'm sick and tired of being an example of suffering. I'm sick and tired of having to be the guy who goes on the front line and takes all the hits and goes through all the horrible experiences and then has to share it all publicly and have all the, and sometimes I just go, forget it. I'm done. I'm out. Take me out of this. Give me a heart attack. That's my flesh. Jesus said, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And I told Lisa, I said, sweetheart, we have to remember we are two different people. You are spirit person and you are flesh person. And it's the difference between the person who is impatient in me and who cannot stand the suffering and wants pain relief, and then the person who is the spirit in me who hears from God, who deep, deep, deep knows that God is going to deliver us. God is going to turn this around for our good, and God is using this. Not that we're going to be totally redeemed in this life, otherwise maybe there'd be no reason for heaven, but that he is going to redeem all of this and use it for other people. And sometimes when you're suffering so much, you get sick and tired of suffering for other people and you go, come on, enough is enough. We've been suffering for all these years, Lisa and I, 21 years. I mean, the hell that Lisa went through with her ex, some of the things that she told me just are like a dagger to the heart. Just horrible to think about what she went through. If women could only hear the story of what she went through the day she gave birth. I mean, that no woman, in my humble opinion, should ever have to go through what she went through that day. No married woman. And she went through hell. That's only one thing of countless painful, horrific things that my wife went through. She has suffered hell. And so it's all these years of suffering. And so you want so bad to see that the suffering ends in this life. And the truth is, as painful as it is for the flesh to hear, our real suffering does not end until the next life. God may give us a respite. He gives us breaths. And depending upon your personality, depending upon God's use of you, depending upon your obedience, etc., a lot of times that will determine how God deals with us. He deals with certain people different, and they have suffering at different times and in different amounts all throughout their life, and it ends at different times, etc. So we, you know, I'm struggling right now to make sure that I keep my eyes on Christ, that I keep myself humbled, and everything that I'm going through. Like this morning I woke up and I felt trying to figure out the bags. I woke up immediately thinking about the bags, and oh, I know what I'll do. I'll just fill out the form and I'll just declare everything as a gift. Since she's my wife and she legally has my name now, I'm just going to give it all to her. Let her. Why could it not be that I give them all a gift? Give it all as a gift, since you're having such a hard time with all of this and thinking we're going to sell this stuff. It's just ridiculous. And yet I can't say that. I can't go into the whole it's ridiculous. I can't get all flustered and upset about it. It's of God. God is doing this. God's drawing it out. God's making it to where we've had dozens of exchanges with FedEx and customs and nothing is moving forward and the bags are stuck. The truth is, if Michael Criswell is going to be asked to do anything, all of hell is going to come against it to try to stop it, but God is going to allow it. And if we truly are a picture of what the bride of Christ is going to have to go through in the end times, then we have to be willing to suffer, and we have to know and hope that in heaven, God will reward us. I thank God for Matthew 10, where Jesus talks about that there is a prophet's reward. There's a reward for being a prophet. Because when I read Jeremiah and I see how the short end of the stick he got, and I see Ezekiel having to suffer so much for the sin of other people and being treated as one person wrote, I just saw yesterday on a website somewhere, you know, it looks like God is treating Ezekiel very cruelly and unjustly. He's having to suffer for the sins of other people. This is what prophets do. They have to suffer because of the sins of the people that they're being sent to serve. It's really not exciting. I mean, all these false, ridiculous prophets and so-called apostles, they have not a clue. They'll find out the truth when they're in hell. And I'm so thankful that, one thing I'm thankful is that I'm having my hell now. Just like Abraham said to the rich man, remember who was in hell. Remember, in your lifetime you had your good things. But Lazarus suffered. It will not be able to be said of me and Lisa, we had our good things in this life. She is a good thing. Our marriage is a good thing. Maybe God will give us a tiny bit of a Job 42:10, second half of our life, more blessed than the first. How I pray. And, you know, as I say this, I have this sense that we are so close to God turning all of this around. That at any moment, God could send help. God can do a miracle. And there's no need for me to worry about the bags. There's no need for me to worry about being exhausted, about having to sit down in the computer today and do this. You know, praise God, I have work I can do and in the ministry. And just things are so tough right now because I haven't been putting out videos. I haven't been able to have the pleasure of the work. The work's being held back. I've been in a state of unbelievable confusion about it for 2 months. It's just incredible. And Paul says, you know, we wanted to come to you again and again. Certainly I, Paul, did. And Satan stopped us. So I'm looking at this and seeing how, you know, Satan is stopping us, but God is allowing it. But then I think to myself, at any minute, something can break. And I have to keep believing that at any minute, any hour, any day. You know, we don't have any more marker days. And so this is open-ended. This could be 3 years or 3 minutes. And we don't know. But Lisa and I are committed that we are not giving up. To whom else will we go? And it's really remarkable. Like, if you can kind of just relax into the suffering and accept it. But the hard part is getting that spirit down to accept it. But this is what I see. Like this morning, I just said, Lord, I felt myself saying, you know, the Lord gives and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And I just saw a devotion this morning that talks about how everything is about Jesus. Being conscious that all of your suffering is about Him and suffering for Him and being counted worthy to suffer for Him. And that it counts, even if you're invisible, it counts in heaven and amongst the great cloud of witness. And it's a witness to angels and demons all around that you're suffering conscious of Jesus. This is commendable before God if you suffer as a Christian. And we have to remind ourselves of these and encourage ourselves with these things. And you could be free of the pain by letting go of the promise. And we're not willing. We want to remain in bondage to the promise because we want to remain in bondage to Jesus Christ. And I believe in the end. This is all by faith. You know, we have no idea to know truly in the natural if this will ever turn around, how good the marriage will be, how much of us there will be left by the time we even get into the marriage, age-wise, emotion-wise, you know, spiritual-wise. We have no idea. It's all by faith. You have to believe, and this is the same way it will be at the end times. People have no idea what's coming. They really don't. I can see this now more clearly than ever. God is going to allow people to suffer to where they're going to quit. The bridegroom was a long time in coming. All these videos out there, people lying and being lied to. Jesus coming to them in dreams. I'm coming soon. No, He is not. Mark my words, people will be listening to this recording after I'm dead. Jesus still will have not come back. And all those people that had those dreams will be dead and forgotten. I mean, thousands of people. Jesus came to me in a dream and said, he's coming soon. No, he's not. He told the Apostle John, who's a real apostle, who we know he heard, he was coming soon. It's been 2,000 years. The fact is that this is what people are going to go through. People are going to go through unbelievable suffering and disappointment and closing in of their circumstances and prison-type experiences and government turning against you and possessions being held hostage and your way being blocked and your story being misunderstood and your person being mocked. And all of these things are going to happen and people turning against you, and it's going to be horrible. I know that that is exactly why God is having us do this and why he's causing us. I said, sweetheart, we have to suffer more, or at least as a strong example of the people who will follow. I mean, heaven is going to be a delightful place for us. You know, God doesn't want to bless us so much in this life that we lose our excitement for the life to come and our hope in it. So this is tough. You know, we despaired even of life, feeling the sentence of death in our hearts. And this happened that we might not rely on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. Here it is, total blackness, no sense of hope, bags are stuck, passport comes back expired, stamped, you can never reuse it, nothing, it's no good, nothing's moving forward, no open doors for me to start to go to New Zealand. Everything just looks like it's on hold. Everything feels miserable. And it looks totally hopeless. You've been a fool. You've wasted your time. You've wasted your money. You're not going to be able to step into this. You're only delaying your suffering. You're only delaying your, you know, prolonging your suffering, delaying the comfort if you just quit and see the writing on the wall. All of this is being said to us in our hearts, suffering the dreams and the nightmares, suffering just everything. It's just suffering, suffering, suffering. You feel like Brother Yun saying, you weak God. You can't even get us into the promised land that you gave us. You can't even help us. And we're sitting here rotting in prison. Oh man, that's how your flesh feels. But I know stronger in myself than in my flesh. This is not how this is going to end. That is what is a miracle. This is the miracle that shows that God is able to cause you to stand firm. What is it in me that is stronger to persevere than that is in me strong to quit? What is that but the grace and power and will of Jesus Christ? My Father, why have you forsaken me? Lisa and I am standing here in this wilderness right now, and I feel like I can say, my Father, why have you forsaken us? We've had to say that. Thomas Boston says this is the pattern that God is pleased to follow with all of his saints. He was so delighted in the pattern of Christ. This is the pattern. And he brings you lower and lower and lower and lower. And the point of humiliation is farther low than you've ever expected. And it brings you to that place of where he did with Jesus. My Father, why have you forsaken me? It has to look like it. To the natural part of you, it has to feel like you have been forsaken, and you have to persevere. And then with God's help, Deuteronomy, 11:8, to be very careful to obey God so that you may have the strength to enter in and possess the promised land, making sure that you keep it on the breastplate of righteousness, that you're avoiding any known sins, that you're being on guard against murmuring and complaining against God, so that you can continue to receive the grace to enter in. Oh man, it becomes infinitely more difficult. The longer the suffering goes on, the more the temptations are to do something that will prevent the grace that you need in order to get into the promise to find the relief. And you can get trapped in a catch-22 doing circles in the wilderness, murmuring and complaining. I remember one guy that I mentored for a while and was doing recordings, and it's like the guy couldn't help himself. He would constantly start grumbling, and I'd have to say, brother, you're going to have to learn this lesson. You got to stop grumbling against God. It's one thing to talk about your suffering, and of course, I have a legitimate reason for doing it. It's to help other people to know that you know, we go through this too. Ahead of you, we go through this, and we continually go through this, and God will get us through so he can get you through. But when you're grumbling against God and your attitude is murmuring, you cannot expect God to bless that. And that's the problem. If you don't see the suffering right and don't have the grace to go through it, then you won't be able to receive the grace to keep going through it. It's terribly difficult. That's why so few people make it. That's why Jesus Christ said, when the Son of Man comes, will he even find faith on earth? Because the suffering is difficult, and you have to be willing to suffer out in this life and just catch your breath for the life to come. That's what it's about. I see things so differently now than I used to. I see also, and I thank God that the Lord showed me I have this prophetic call in my life, because it suddenly helps me to know that my calling is to suffer on behalf of those who are sinning against God. I'm having to suffer for the apostasy, for the counterfeit faith, for the false teaching, for the lukewarmness, for the half-heartedness of other people. God has had to raise me up and cause me, like all the other prophets that have gone before, or any true servant that the Lord calls in this way, to suffer on behalf of the people who are wrong with God in many ways. Paul says, which of you does not sin and I do not inwardly burn? Man, I know that's suffering too. So this is really, really remarkable stuff to go through. And I guess the main point I would want to try to capture is that I'm able to feel, it's like a panicky sense of doom and gloom just below the surface. It's being kept down by the Spirit of Christ, by a spirit of hope. But just below it, if you look at it with the wind and the waves, you will sink. And so I'm having to keep my eyes on Jesus, the same exact principles that I've been teaching for years. Prayer, reading of the Word and devotions, crying out to God, and being very careful to obey Him. There's no other way. But I have to think that if God is looking to get us to the point of, my God, why have you forsaken us? Then I think we're definitely there. It really feels like, again, except for that inkling of faith, except for that thing that I just know. I don't know how, I always know. I just know it's by God's grace. I just know deep down, no matter what, facing the fact that our situation is as good as dead in all ways, against all hope, Michael in hope believed, being strengthened in his faith, gave glory to God, being fully persuaded that God has the power to do what he promised. I'm fully persuaded that God has the power to do what he promised. And I'm going to leave it there, finish the rest of the time in prayer. I can't not continue recording this as I went into prayer, and I'm just saying, God, I trust you. You know, no matter what, I trust you. And I just said, Father, keep us. Keep us, Father, from sinning against you, from shrinking back, from sinking beneath the wind and the waves. And God, keep us in this storm. And it just really is, it is a storm. And everything is blowing around you circumstantially. You look at the satanic winds whispering at night into my wife's ear, and you look at the tormenting thoughts that come then into my heart. And then you look at the bags and the custom stuff and the stormy circumstances there. You look at the stormy winds that blew the passport back into my life at this time. These things are just so incredibly obviously intentional. And it's like, I feel so sorry for the people. I thought about this. So sorry for the people that have looked at my life and called me a false teacher, called me a serial adulterer, and all this stuff. And I just want to say, man, how foolish these people have to be to not have eyes to see when you look at my life and go, wow, this guy is flat suffering for God. If you would just open their eyes, if God would just open their eyes and they would start reading the books of the Puritans or reading the old biographies of people, they would go, my goodness, this is this guy's life. That's why if you read Brother Yun's life, it's like reading my life. The only difference is mine are spiritual prisons and persecutions rather than a baton in the mouth. And if people can't see it, like there's no way I could keep going if this wasn't of God. If I was doing all of this, this was all of Satan. I mean, this is how foolish people are. When you look at my life and you can't see that this is Satan attacking a servant of the Lord, you are blind as a bat. You're blind as a bat and you have a false gospel and there's no hope for you. That's the truth. That's the truth. There's no way I could have made it this long through all this suffering if it were not for God. If it was not ordained of God for me to suffer and ordained of God for me to be comforted along the way, there's no way. A life this under control of Satan, all being done in the name of Christ, would never make it. Not like this. Not still holding on to the correct gospel. The cross-carrying, self-denying, world-hating, narrow path-walking gospel of Jesus Christ. The storm is blowing. God is letting it be a hellish storm. We just read the other day, extraordinary afflictions are not always because of extraordinary disciplines, but extraordinary gifts. We just read it the other day in a streams. And man, this is extraordinary. These are extraordinary sufferings that never end. That's one of the things that make them so extraordinary, is they just never end. We saw 5:12 this morning, praise the Lord. This is all the true grace of God. We see 8:28, God's gonna work it all together. Lisa's been seeing 8:18 every single day. My passport letter came and says, we sent you a letter on 8:18. So there it is, Romans 8:18. It's just all over the place. We know the God who's working all things together for the good. We will be able to, by that, say we consider our present sufferings are not worth comparing. And I have to keep reminding myself that it's. I remind myself of that in this life. And I know there's going to be a token of it. I know that the first time that Lisa and I get to be in each other's arms, in one moment, all of the suffering will be like troubled waters gone by. In one moment, I told her, I said, sweetheart, when you and I finally get to be together, in one moment, it will erase all the suffering. She said, agreed, absolutely agreed. So it'll be worth it. And we will feel so refreshed and blessed in that. It's exactly like a picture of what happens when Christ comes back for us. I said, baby, the second Jesus Christ parts those clouds, nobody is ever going to be thinking about all the suffering. They're not going to be thinking about the divorce, the parental alienation, the loss of business, the family members that turned against them, the loss of career, the failure of this, the cancer that came back, the baby that died in the womb. No, they're not going to be thinking of any of that. That's why Romans 8:18 is so incredible. I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing to the glory which will be revealed in us. It'll be so foolish. Even now, all the suffering, I think, that's so big and so powerful and so mighty and so front and center in the storm. Granted, it's supposed to be. I'm in the natural and God wants me to suffer and He wants me to feel it and He wants me to endure and He wants me to persevere. But this is nothing compared to the glory that we will receive once we die in this life. I could die today, who knows, and be in glory today and feel like a fool for all of eternity because I was, suffering so bad. I mean, eternity is 2 minutes away from a heartbeat that stops. That is very encouraging to me to think about that. When I put my eyes on things above, granted, something that's remarkable is if God wouldn't have given me this promise for Lisa, I'd be fine just going through life suffering as a single person, doing His work. Oh man, I'd have so much comfort. I'd just be reworking the content, working on it, telling the story. Maybe just doing Bible study teachings and all that. I'd have no hope, no suffering, no delayed expectations, no unmet expectations, no painful reversals, no suffering in my body, no suffering in my heart. It'd be so easy if I didn't have Lisa. Lisa represents suffering for me. And yet it's a suffering unto glory. I mean, seriously, when I think about it, Lisa wouldn't be suffering right now if it wasn't for me. She'd be moving on with her life. She would probably have gotten a different job. She would be doing all kinds of things differently. And she'd be doing some kind of thing to make herself happy and to be busy. No, by God putting us together, He didn't put us together just to give us reward, great romance, fulfill our sexual desires, our lonelinesses, our companionships. No, He put us together to suffer. He wants us to suffer. It's incredible. You see, it's like the Buddhist thinking would say, oh, you should never do this, desire nothing. The root of all suffering is desire. If you kill the desire, you kill the suffering. And God comes along and says, hey, I have this for you. Hey, Abraham, I've got this son for you. All of Abraham's suffering was bound up in that child. It's amazing. God gives him a promise, gives him what he wants, but then says, you're going to suffer for this. You're going to have to pay a cost. I wrote, or rather read recently, about our need to identify with how God has suffered. When you think about how much Jesus is suffering for his bride, why should I not have to suffer for mine? God has suffered exactly the same way I have. He has had three wives. He clearly speaks of issuing divorce certificates through the prophet Isaiah and Jeremiah. He clearly calls Israel a sister and Judah a sister. He treats them differently. He punishes them separately. He deals with them separately. They are two sisters from God's own mouth. And he said they both committed adultery and he has sent them both away. That's divorce. He even uses the word divorce certificate. So all these people that all these years have called me an adulterer don't realize they need to call God one as well. And then he married a third time while his other two brides were still alive. Clearly, you can go to Israel and find that his old divorced wife is there. Both of them, Judah and Israel. And they're scattered all over the world. And God is only going to take a tiny fraction of them back. A tiny fraction. 144,000 sealed in the end. Plus whatever small remnant he may have chose to bring in between then and now, which is very tiny. A very fraction. So he says, you know, they will be hardened. And they've experienced a hardening in part until the time of the Gentiles. So when you look at these things, here God is finally married to a persevering bride, the Gentiles, and Jesus Christ is having to suffer, and so I'm having to suffer. And man, I feel the suffering. I feel out of shape spiritually to be able to even make these recordings. I feel very much the suffering. I've plopped down on this big rock out in the middle of the woods and just sitting here with my feet nice and high up off the ground and just praying and sitting on this rock, a big boulder, and asking God to lift us up off of the miry, slippery quicksand that we're in and set our feet on solid ground, on rock, and just crying out to him. And I'm just amazed. I told him in prayer, I said, Lord, even if you want me to cry out, my God, why have you forsaken me? I said, God, I just don't feel like I can do that. I just don't feel like, I said, Lord, if you're wanting me to get there, hopefully I've already been there. I said, but it's like, no matter how dark it gets, no matter how much suffering I can feel, the one thing I cannot do is quit on God and quit on faith. I just can't do it. I mean, I'm sure if God wanted me to, I could, and I'm sure if I stopped all my disciplines, you know, of coming out in faith and prayer and hoping in Him and reading the Word, but it's like deep down, it's like I know I cannot quit on God. I can feel the suffering. I can feel the frustrations. I can feel my flesh wanting to curse God and accuse Him and murmur against Him and all that kind of stuff. I can feel that. I can feel the tiredness of, God, how much longer does this need to go on? And yet, deep down, I know, shut your mouth. God is good. God does this on purpose, and it's for a very good, redeemable reason that He's doing this, a fruitful reason He's doing this. God will come through for you. He always has. He always will. You know that Jesus Christ suffered. You're a servant of His. You have to suffer. All Christians have to suffer. This is not the life you're to live for. The life to live is the life coming forward. When God gives you a promise, you know that you're going to have to suffer waiting for it. You know that circumstances are going to contradict. You know that things are going to be difficult. And you know that as your faith grows, so will the weight of the test. And so just be quiet and just be patient and wait. That's what's in me. Always. It's like Lisa said. She's like, why don't you know, you hardly don't ever get upset. I've gotten upset 2 times in the whole year that I can think of. I've suffered quite a bit, but it's a suffering that's palatable that doesn't really cause me to murmur against God. I'm afraid to murmur against God. I really am. I don't know how people do it. I'm afraid. I told Lisa the other night, I said, sweetheart, we are the ones that are wrong always. God is never wrong. Never. He never does wrong. It's only us. So I am so thankful that I have that. I'm so thankful for my wife. I'm so thankful for what we have. I'm so thankful that I've told her, I said, look, thank God that we even have something this beautiful to suffer for. Thank God we have heaven to suffer for. There's hope after this. I mean, man, I'm going to get to die in this life and step into heaven. I don't think about it so much. But when I do, it makes me feel so happy that this life is just temporary and I get to go to heaven and be with Jesus Christ and there's no more suffering and no more waiting and no more faith and no more testing of faith and no more disappointments, unmet expectations, suffering, tears, setbacks, you know, none of that. Pains in the flesh, pains in the body. Oh man, what a blessing. Persecutions, unbelieving family members who don't believe and misunderstand you and mock you and people who've turned against you. There's none of those in heaven. Not even memories of them, praise God. But I just, it's amazing to me. This is the most amazing thing to me is no matter how bad the suffering gets, the hope inside of me always outweighs the suffering. The suffering may get in a shot here or there for a time or two, a couple hours, a couple days here and there, but the hope always wins out. Always. It's like it can't be put out. And there it is, Song of Solomon. Many waters cannot quench love. So no matter how much I love Lisa, I love God more. And if I truly love God, I'm willing to suffer for Him. I see the principles all over Scripture. Christ set an example for you that you should follow in Him. He suffered first. We have to suffer second. Philippians 1:29. It's been granted to you on behalf of Christ not only to believe on Him, to suffer for Him. And then how I can be thankful that even though I can't feel the benefits sitting right now on this rock in these woods facing suffering, and nobody has any idea for months the kind of suffering what Lisa and I have been going through in the last couple of months. Nobody has any idea outside of a few people in our inside circle, and they only know part of it. So there's no benefit to my suffering right now to anyone. None. But one day there will. One day God will have me share this recording. One day people will be going through something similar. One day people will be going, man, I needed to hear this because, man, I'm going through it. And thousands of people will be encouraged by this exact suffering I'm having on this very rock, all by myself on the side of this mountain, in these woods where not a person on the earth knows where I'm at, knows what I'm doing, knows what I'm going through, knows who I'm talking to, God, knows what I'm talking to Him about, understands the torment that I'm facing, the devils that I'm having to stand against, the suffering I'm having to constantly persevere through, the shield of faith I'm having to take up, the sword of the Spirit I'm having to take up, the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, the feet of the gospel. Nobody knows about this. I'm all alone. There's no benefit to my suffering right now to other people. But I'm thankful for it. I'm benefiting. I'm persevering. Man, I tell you, it's incredible how no matter what I have gone through all these years, that hope always wins. Praise God. Praise God. When you cry out to Him and you're suffering, you can go from hopelessness to hope. Like, I just feel such joy in my heart right now, hope, where I've been crying out to God, strengthen me, lift me up. And He's the one that gives us the hope. He's the one that gives meaning to our suffering. He's the one that helps us see it's not meaningless. He's the one that helps us see there's going to be a reward for the suffering. And that I'm going to comfort you through it. And I'm going to use it to bless other people. And there'll be people in heaven who made it because you suffered first. Just like, you know, consider Him who endured such sinful opposition from men so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. You have not yet resisted sin to the point of shedding your blood. Hebrews 12, let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before Him endured the cross. You know, we consider Him, and then we consider other servants. Like, You know, Brother Yun has no idea that I exist. And he has no idea that I've taken a great deal of courage from his sufferings. Most of the time, people are encouraged by my sufferings. And God had to show me somebody that suffered even more and in a different way that I could say, wow, Lord, I've never suffered like that. And he would look at me and say a lot of things. He's never suffered like that. But the point is that by my looking at his example and seeing what God eventually brought about in his life, and you see him sitting on stages smiling and he's so excited about Jesus Christ and his passion and all that stuff, you can look at him and see, like Job, what God finally brought about. He patiently endured and God finally brought about because he's full of compassion and mercy. But, you know, you go into these things with such expectations. Oh, it's going to be amazing. And Lisa and I are going to be together so soon. And we're going to get to enjoy all the things that come with marriage that our hearts have longed for. We've been waiting. And like Lisa, she has a really remarkable side of the testimony that is very unique to her. And she talks about how, like, you know, God gave her this promise all those years ago that he was going to bless her. And that she really didn't know what it would be, but she cried out, you know, Lord, at one point, you know, will I have a husband? Or if not, I don't need one. I'll be okay with you. But, you know, she saw that she had a promise from God. And that she really got a Romans 8:18 promise from him that one day her sufferings now would not be worth comparing to the glory that'll be revealed in her. And so then, you know, kind of at the bottom where she's completely desperate and she lets go of it all, I show up in her life. And that's a refresher. And she said, so I had been in this prison of hope all this time. Then I get you. And then she's like, but then God puts me right back in another prison. And it's like we're going from prison to prison. And that is so true. It's just like I said, yeah, look, it's like Brother Yun. He was in 30 prisons. And, you know, and circumstantially, I bet the number is somewhere probably close to that for me, depending upon how you define the circumstances. But I am suffering, but I have hope. I have hope. God is giving me hope. There's this part of me that is so stubborn, that's even more stubborn than the most severest of sufferings, that just continues to trust that God will do what he said. I made this recording, like part two of, you know, a recording on the mountain here today, and I saw that it was 6.17 megabytes and 1228. There's the Isaiah 61:7 about not suffering shame and disgrace and receiving a double portion in the land and delight in your inheritance. And then 1228, no longer will the vision be delayed, but I will fulfill that which I have spoken. Ezekiel 12:28, if we've got that one right. So it's like God is telling us soon, you know, soon. Granted, his soons are different than our soons. And we have to wait the soon. But right now I'm content and I'm just putting my eyes back on the Lord and I'm thankful and I've got work to do today and I'm just going to, I don't have very much energy. I can feel it. I feel low on energy. I still feel the suffering. It's really weird. If you put your eyes on it and I think about the customs forms I'm going to have to fill out today and all that kind of stuff, it just starts to feel weary. What's interesting is shortly after I talked to Lisa this morning, I got a notification from Google about, you know, one of my reviews has been seen over 1,000 times, and I just was like, well, I wonder what that one was. And so I looked at it, and then I decided that I'd just scroll down and see them. And the fifth one was the one that I did in India from 5 years ago, or seventh one, whatever it was. And I noticed it had 919 views on it. And I see the 919, and I'm like, Lord, are you telling me to wait about, you know, answering customs? Are you going to do something different, or is it regarding the work? So I really need God's help. Now I'm going to go finish praying about that. Michael commentary. So you've just heard me mention in this last recording the 919. And for those of you who have forgotten, this is the providence the Lord has used to direct me to Numbers 9:19. And while the cloud remained over the tabernacle a long time, the Israelites obeyed God and did not set out. It's a way of him telling me to stop and stay put. It happens a lot. And so the one thing that I want you to realize is in this next recording, I go a little farther about how I'm wondering, wow, maybe the Lord is holding this back. And this is another perfect example to see the partnership that exists between an obedient follower of Jesus Christ and his sovereignty, that his sovereignty does not just rule independent of you exercising your will to do what he says. This happens over and over throughout this story, that it requires that I be willing to hear him and obey him. And what nobody knows at this point, including me, is the remarkable, astonishing timing that the Lord is aiming for in getting those bags to land on Lisa's porch in New Zealand. He's doing it to show his hand, but as you can see, he's not just arbitrarily controlling me or doing it without my will. He's giving me signs telling me, stay put, causing a delay, which is actually intentional to bring about the final result, which shows his great signature of precise timing that is just astonishing. I can't wait for you to hear it. May God bless you as you continue to listen. It's now 8:21 a.m. and I'm still on the mountain, and I've been praying specifically about the bags. So this morning I'm thinking of sending off this new paperwork they're asking of me, where I refill the form out as if I'm the importer rather than Lisa, producing my passport document, which of course is expired, and listing all the items, which I've already done. This is a different instruction than we received from customs. This is coming to us from FedEx and coming to us from the shipping people that we've initially used, the service, luggage to ship. And when we last talked to the customs officer at Traded Email, he was explaining that they cannot accept the goods with used market value. Do you have the price? We replied back to him, you know, please feel free to use, you know, mark the money up twice. We think that that will cover it, that it's about that much money. So they have to charge us this goods and services tax because they believe, you know, it's a black and white issue and it looks like we're bringing the stuff in to sell it. So I just like, okay, Lord, we just trust you for that. So this morning while I'm thinking about doing this, and the first thing I think about when I wake up is filling out this form and getting this off. I was going to do it last night and I just delayed. This morning I see 9:19 and immediately I think about work, and then I go, no, I don't think that's work. Maybe God is telling me not to fill out the customs forms, to just wait. And they're all getting kind of like, hey, let's get these bags moved on type of thing. And, you know, FedEx is thinking that, and luggage to ship is thinking that, no doubt customs is thinking that. Today is day 47. So it's interesting, today's day 47 since I sent them. And I just want to capture this, that I'm actually feeling like I'm probably not supposed to send the paperwork today. So I'm really praying and asking the Lord to help me. And I just wonder if the Lord is wanting to show his hand, since it looks like we've been put to shame, since we have not seen anything really by way of God's help now in a good couple of months, really, several months, other than the, you know, typical grace to keep us going every day, which is beautiful. But circumstantially, we've seen nothing. And so I'm wondering if maybe the Lord is seeing this as an opportunity to show us his glory and show us his help. And I just thought, Lord, these government things are nothing to you. And so I think I'm going to delay intentionally all day today. I'm not in a hurry to get the bags to Lisa. I mean, I want them to be done, but I'm willing to wait and delay. But that's how I'm feeling right now, is just to wait and just really pray instead of, you know, this is taking a risk that they may get all upset and say, forget it, put them back on the plane, send them back to the United States. So I'm having to take a risk, but I really do feel like I need to at least delay today on that in case the 9:19. I've even asked the Lord if he would be willing to show me another 9:19, but as I'm praying about it, I just kind of have this peace like, okay, I'll do this. So that's what I'm going to do.